Hey gang, South by Southwest 2015 is in full swing, and I'm here to tell you about a great event going on tomorrow. It's the Merch Cat Indie Showcase, Saturday, March 21st at the Lucky Lounge in Austin, Texas at noon, featuring the bands Hydrogen Child, Teen Commandments, Wild Adriatic, Sphinx, Iron Tom, with DJ sets by Prom Date and White Girl. The thing is presented by Mezza Forte Productions and In Focus Management, and the whole thing is hosted by me, Johnny Gowdy, of How Did I Get Here. So head on down to Merch Cat Indie Showcase at the Lucky Lounge at noon, Saturday, March 21st, South by Southwest 2015.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host, coming to you from the convergence of madness over my city, also known as South by Southwest 2015. We are in the middle of it over here, sleeves rolled up, people coming over to the apartment, having conversations. If you're just coming to the show for the very first time because you're a fan of the band of my guest today, The Accidentals, this is a show. I'm a musician. I talk to other musicians about what it's like to be a musician and what their lives are like and how they got where they are. That's why it's called How Did I Get Here? So today my guests are Savannah, Katie, and Michael. They are The Accidentals, a band started by Katie and Savannah a few years ago. And now they're out there. They've got tons of original songs. They're out on tour for quite a while now. They've got a record out called Bittersweet that they are promoting, and they're here at South by Southwest from Traverse City, Michigan. Youngsters under the age of 21 out playing music for the masses, bringing it to the people. That's what I like to hear. Yeah, so we will get to that conversation with The Accidentals in just a second. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I will be at the Lucky Lounge tomorrow, hosting the Merch Cat Indie Showcase, which is put on by Mezza Forte Productions and In Focus Management, which is Saturday, March 21st, South by Southwest at around 12:30 in the afternoon. Come on out. Hydrogen Child will be playing, Teen Commandments will be playing, Wild Adriatic will be playing, Sphinx, Iron Tom, and DJ sets by Prom Date and White Girl. I will be hosting, emceeing, introducing the bands, saying things for the night. Enjoy it. Lucky Lounge all day. Free party. Good times. Other than that, I've been doing a lot of interviews. I did that Beats Delicious thing on Sunday, and ever since then, I've had a steady stream of people coming to the apartment, sitting down and having conversations. Now, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know that over the last few years, I've gone to the people. I've gone to bars. I've gone to loud places and had 20-minute conversations with people. This year, I decided to change it up, invite the people to the apartment, and do the shows like I normally do. Take some time so that you, the audience, can get to know these artists a little bit better. So that's what we're doing. And The Accidentals will be up in just a second, right after I tell you what I've done so far this week. I've interviewed a lot of bands. I haven't gone out a lot because I've been doing the post-production on all these shows because there's so many of them. I got to do it before I forget who they are or how to find their music or whatever. So I got, you know, I'm staying on top of it so it doesn't become a mountain of insurmountable tasks, which I hate. I went out on Tuesday, which was St. Patrick's Day, and I went to go to the British Music Embassy because I'd had some people from the Welsh, from Music Wales, and a band on here called Paper Aeroplanes, and so I was going to go see them that night, but I couldn't get in without a badge. I don't have a badge this year. I had one last year, but I couldn't get in without a badge, so I ended up meeting up with some folks, having some cocktails, and ran into Skinny Lister, who was on the show on Monday, the band from the UK. Fantastic hanging out with them. They were in full mode. They were having a great time. They had the rest of the night off. They were having cocktails. Met them at a bar over on Rainy Street, walked around with them a little bit, and then brought it on home. Brought it on back home. That's right. Turned in early. I did have a few cocktails, and I did have a pretty good time, but it was madness out there. Does it seem like, if you're down here at South by Southwest, and you've been here before, like, the first one I played was 1990, so obviously, yes, it's changed, it's grown, it's become, it's infused more corporations, it's become something that Jimmy Kimmel has done live here during South by Southwest. It's understandable that things will grow and become a little bit out of hand and not quite the innocent music festival that it once was with all these people and all these bands and stuff. Now it's kind of more about the McDonald's and about, can I get into this free party, and is Lady Gaga going to be there, and is Miley Cyrus on the street by the Austin American Statesman. One thing, though, that I've noticed is I feel like there's a lot more spring break bro action going on. There's a lot more puke in the streets. There's a lot more just total fucking wastedness with no badge. No, just dudes wasted in shorts and like, but plus it was St. Patrick's Day. But I did notice this stuff more over the last couple of years. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that. That always worries me. I'm a little guy. I always think one of these big guys is just going to look at me and not like me. Happened to me a few years ago. A guy looked at me and it looked like he was going to do something. And luckily another guy stepped in and intervened, talked him into doing something else, focusing that energy elsewhere. Anyway, that's my view of South By. I'm going to go out in just a minute and go see some bands and you know, spend the day walking around. So yeah, I didn't go out and see a lot of stuff. I've been working a lot. I enjoy it. I like talking to people, and I like meeting all these new people and having all these guests in from all over the country, like my new friends, the Accidentals, Savannah Bulst, Katie Larson, and Michael Deuce. They're the Accidentals, and they're a great, great, great band with a great story. They're young, but they're so talented, and they're so enthusiastic, and they're so, I don't know. I love that. They're very vibrant. Their ride was late getting them afterwards, so we ended up hanging out after the podcast and talking for a while, and I really enjoyed it. So I hope that you enjoy my conversation with Savannah, Katie, and Michael, the Accidentals. You can find out all about them at moreaccidentals.com. They have a new album called Bittersweet. They're out there promoting it, and you know, we'll get to that right now. Here are my friends, Savannah, Katie, and Michael, the Accidentals. Let's get down.
City grew a garden. She planted with her hands. She reminisced in her midst.
Michael, you play guitar now and drums and sing at the same time. Back off. Whatever. Mr. Multitasker.
Michael, what do you do at the same time?
Plays guitar and drums, and he sings the harmony to one of our songs all at the same time.
Oh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no complaint. Are you you can, if you stand up and lift up, there's a bar thing on the side, your seat will lift up.
This bar thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Look, because short people.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, finally, people now. My size. I can relate to you guys.
Oh, thank goodness. Here, let's put on these headphones.
Yeah, you're welcome to wear those headphones. Sorry, Michael.
Sorry, Michael.
I mean, I could dig up another pair if you need them.
Ooh.
God, you're just really getting the shaft on the show.
It's okay.
So how do you work into this? How did Michael, because obviously you guys had met and did your thing at first, Savannah and Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did...
I met him at a music festival.
Yeah, lean in. There you go.
Yeah, I met them at a music festival in northern Michigan, and I was playing an open mic before one of their sets, and
right.
So they came in kind of halfway through when I was playing, and I had seen their set earlier, so I was kind of like freaked out a little bit, and then we kind of got to talking, became friends, and they didn't know that I played drums until like a couple months before I ended up joining the band. I had grabbed one of their songs off of their SoundCloud page, and I like put drums over it in my basement, and they were like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. Like, we're looking for a drummer. Would you want to like come up and play a couple shows, see how it goes?" And
well, the first time we ever saw Michael, he was playing guitar and singing, and
right.
He was singing a song that he'd written. So we had no idea that he played like 3 other instruments and could also record, like, it was audio technology nerd, and
right.
We're like, oh my gosh, he's like perfect, we have to take him with us everywhere we go. So then we did, so now he's with us. It's awesome.
You're like a nice little family.
Yeah. We are. Michael's his secret talent is that he does really good voice impressions of like cartoon characters and movie actors and everything, and I always say that he does the best impression of Savannah when she's singing.
Oh, really?
And yeah. We do these three-part harmonies, and no one understands that Michael, he's doing the falsetto harmonies that
it's
are
not
like
me.
Two octaves above us.
Yeah.
Everyone's
yeah.
like, oh my gosh.
So it's so funny that you call us a family, though, because we've already worked out what our stereotypes are. Michael's mm-hmm. the suburban father of the group because
yeah.
he drinks about 5 cups of coffee a day and is always telling us, make sure you turn your car off before you fill it up with gas and stuff like that. And Katie's like the grandmother of the group. She's like always knitting in the back seat, and she's very quiet. And when she speaks, that. It's very wise. Yeah. It's very, very thoughtful and intelligent. But she's also kind of a goofball, so you can't help but love her. It's like, thanks, Grandma. Thanks a lot. And
who are you, Savannah?
I'm the cat of the group.
She's the family cat. No, she will fall asleep.
She will.
Anywhere. I fell asleep on the floor last night. If there's a patch of light on the floor,
yeah.
Like, she's in the patch of light, dead asleep. Like, within minutes.
It's pretty fun.
Calendar for Christmas. I made a calendar for Savannah with a compilation of all the photos of her lying in weird places on the ground.
It's my favorite thing ever.
Well, you guys have played, you guys, in a year you played 500 shows? Or
I
in 2 years?
I think 700 shows in 3 years.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Does it, that's a nice smile, like, yep, we did it.
I can't believe it.
What kind of shows are they? What kind of shows are you guys playing? I saw that you've opened for some people and stuff like that, but a regular show, like, I mean, you're young. Are you playing, like, bars?
There really is no regular show. We do have our X's on our hands for being minors. We played in Dallas. We actually did three shows. We did, like, a pub.
In
then
a
we
day.
Did a coffee shop.
Yeah, really I nice played both shop. Of those places.
Oh, yeah?
Nice. Yeah, many
and then
times.
We did a Profit Bar, which was, it turned
there
out to be
too.
A punk night.
It was a punk rock cacophony is
the
what
band
that was.
Before us, they were, like, spitting on people and ripping down the curtains. And we were like, Savannah's wearing her cat dress and like little stockings.
And we're like, all right, we're going to have to
ready
bring it.
To rock.
So we wrote our set list with all our rock songs and just like went over the top, like standing on amps and stuff. It was so a little bit of everything. We have a couple of different shows that we like to bring to the table, and we like to show all of those at South By. So
I do. I liked, I mean, there's so many instruments you guys play. But before we go to that, let's go back to Dallas because we can start on this familiar note with both of us. You played opening bell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was Pascal there, the lady that owns it?
I don't think so, but I had her quiche.
Oh, yeah? She offered me her quiche once, and I... I passed. I went ahead and took payment for my show instead. So disrespectful. She actually found that poster of mine that was signed that was in a... like when a Tower Records closed, and then she had it mounted and gave that to me. Right. And I repay her by making fun of her on my podcast. And so Poor David's, did you have fun there?
Yeah, my grandfather used to play there.
Really?
Yeah, my family grew up in Dallas, Texas, so it was crazy when I found out, oh yeah, your grandfather totally played here like every Thursday, brought a huge crowd, and I'm like, whoa, wow, I'm going back to the roots, I guess.
How exciting. Do you still have family there? It's your headphones. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I totally. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally. I have family there still, so they all came out to the show, and it was really cool. We got to hang out with them. So, but that was a fun gig. The sound
did,
was really cool.
Did you guys tour from Michigan down here?
Yes. Yeah.
The whole way. So where you? Okay, you live in northern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Traverse City.
What is that? I've never. I mean, I've heard of it.
It's up
I
on don't, the pinky.
Okay.
Like if you give the mitten, we're up on the up on the pinky here.
Okay.
So it's a pretty sizable drive. We kind of do like 4 hour blocks of driving.
Which isn't bad. 4 hours is nothing, but it's good to stop. All the places we've played have been really cool. So I know we went to Wakeman, Ohio was the first. Then we went to Cincinnati, went to Nashville, went to Memphis, went to Dallas.
How did you do in Nashville? I mean, it seems like are you guys?
Yeah, I was born there, actually. So my parents met there, and they had some friends and family out there, and we actually have a couple of Michigan connections. There's an artist out there named Rachel Davis, and she's from Michigan, so we got to play with her again and hang out, and it was totally awesome. Like, we were like, hey, Michigan people! So it was cool. And Nashville was really pretty. We actually stayed with these guys who were hit songwriters, Chuck Cannon and Larry White. And they, you know, they have the studio and stuff, so we got to hang out there and play like a billion guitars that they had from like all decades, like just ridiculous vintage guitars. And
they had the best dogs too.
Yeah, they had Portuguese water dogs, and they were really friendly. Yeah, it was cool. We had a lot of fun on this tour. It's just been really crazy, and like something new happens every day. We call ourselves the X-Dells.
You guys are playing like crazy this week.
Yeah.
Right?
12 showcases.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. I mean, do you ever do that? Have you ever done 12 showcases?
Well, I mean, not ever like a like South by, of course. But,
I don't know.
But we do stretches, especially since Katie and I have been in school for the past 3 years, and this is the first year where neither of us are actually in school while touring. So we've had to balance and kind of take off on our spring break and our, you know, vacation times and just do as many shows as we possibly can out of state. So
because it's, I mean, you said before we turn the mics on and stuff that you want to be an audio engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not like a civil engineer or something like that.
No, I don't know if I could. Yeah, that's
her. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then you want to be a science?
What? Savannah's the science, science nerd. She wants to, like, work for NASA and study biology and wolves and
everything.
You know who's been on this show?
Who?
Katie Coleman.
What?
The astronaut.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
She's been on my show.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she's a flautist.
Oh, I'm geeking out.
And a mutual friend introduced us at two South by Southwests ago, and I got to hang out with her and interview her. And also, I have her email, and sometimes we email each other.
Oh, my God. Give it to me.
And you know what she never talked about? She never talked about being the person that trained Sandra Bullock for Gravity.
She trained Sandra Bullock? Yeah.
She never said anything about it, never once. Maybe it was underground then. It was before the movie came out.
That's crazy.
Maybe she wasn't allowed to say something.
I'm actually not surprised because she's kind of awesome. So
it's always interesting to see what kind of things like that come out after the secrecy of movies drop. Like, what was happening?
Well, you never realize that yet. If you got to commit and all of a sudden you're like some lady that's really not an astronaut at all and you got to convincingly portray a space person, a person in space. Do you want to go to space? I don't want to go to space.
I don't know if I'd be the one to go to space, especially since my vision's not exactly 2020. So, but I'd like to study it. I'd like to study space. That'd be cool.
But you never, I wouldn't want to go in. That's just scary to me.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to go there?
Well, actually, I tend to ask my bandmates, like, all these ridiculous questions when we're on the road. We get really bored, and I'll just be like, hey, do you want to go to, like, would you go to space? And, like, if you had to be stuck there forever, would you go to space just to advance humankind? And
would you?
Like,
I don't know.
I think I might. Only because, like, if it was advancing, like science and stuff like that, like, I don't know. If I'd like to go out and see that, but at the same time, if I had to leave everybody behind, it'd be really hard.
That's true. And there's also
I got a band. Like, take care
of tacos in space.
Exactly. There's no tacos in space. Like, tacos there is ice cream, though.
Are you guys, you've obviously taken, is that your van parked there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is probably a bad parking space.
Oh, okay.
But I thought she was,
Oh, yeah. I was just going to, I just noticed it didn't move and you guys showed up and then I was like, here's a van and a band. Sorry, I don't want to take away from the conversation. So what other kind of, would you go to space, you said, Michael, for the advancement of humankind?
I might. I'm kind of interested. There's been a lot of talk about that, like, trip to Mars that people are, like, getting ready for to be, like, the first people to settle on Mars. And it's really cool. If I could do that, I might do that just because, like, my name would be in a history book forever, but.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good way to leave a legacy.
Space?
I don't know if I could give up tacos.
Yeah, hey, that's what I was going to ask you guys. What, do they got tacos in Michigan?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess tacos are everywhere now, but you're like in Taco Town now.
Yeah.
Like you are in Taco Town. Yeah.
We're going to check out all those lots with, we're going to go like food truck hopping.
Wait, but you guys tell them what happened.
Before you go, I will hip you to maybe some places that are off the beach.
Yes. Nice. I can tell you what happened, though. We were in Dallas, and we were looking for this specific taco shop. This guy, after Dave's Pub, the guy who owns Dave's Pub, came out. Well, it's Dave's. And he came out, and he's like, hey, if you want to get the best taco in Dallas, you have to go to this place. And he gave us the address. So we, like, spent 15 minutes looking for it and detouring off these, like, back roads. And finally, we found this place. And there's 6 cop cars pulled out in front of it just arresting all these people. We're like, oh, my God, where are we? But we went in anyway, and we got these tacos. And they were the best tacos.
They were really, really good tacos.
They were fantastic tacos. That's so it was awesome. Worth it, even though it was kind of scary.
His opening bell is right around the corner from...
From Port Aves?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's in the basement or the down thing of that thing. And
yep,
then
so
around
we packed
the
up all our stuff and
ran across
unpacked
the street.
It again. Yeah. Yep.
So let's talk about, what do you guys want to talk about? No, I have a show and you guys are on it, so I'm going to go ahead and take charge and actually do this. You have a new album out, Bittersweet.
Yeah, newish.
Newish.
Uh huh.
And I read that you're planning on having another one out this year.
We're hoping to.
You're touring a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. Yeah. And like, so from here, do you just keep on going? Or do you go back home and, and relaunch?
On the, I think the 23rd, just Savannah and I, we are flying all the way back to our hometown in Traverse City.
24th.
Because on the 24th, we have a concert that night in our hometown with the Traverse City Civic String Ensemble. They're an orchestra ensemble, and we arranged three of our songs and scored out the parts.
Well, that's the thing, is that Katie and I met in an orchestra when we were in high school, so we kind of have all these orchestral roots, and we totally met by accident, but she came over to my house to rehearse for this concert, and we ended up playing the White Stripes instead, so we were a band that night. But
yeah, so that's definitely close to our heart. We're doing that show, and then actually after that, we're headed back to finish up our tour in California, and then in April, we have a show at the high school where we actually met, working and doing a workshop with the students there and doing a concert and performing another one of the songs.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then we're coming right back out and going to Colorado and to Chicago again.
So what do you, so after here, you're driving because you have the stuff and they're flying up there to do the thing and then flying and meeting you back? Or what are you doing, Michael? What's happening, buddy?
I'm also flying back to Michigan.
Okay.
And then our manager and our videographer are driving out to Las Vegas.
It's a very complicated plan.
There's a lot of people going a
That's
lot of
rock star stuff, though. I mean, doesn't it feel like a little...
It's definitely, I mean, it's crazy. Okay, so we just signed this four-album production deal with this guy named Marshall Crenshaw, and this is what kicked it off.
You mean like the Marshall Crenshaw?
The Marshall
like
Crenshaw.
Someday,
some way. Yeah, that guy, exactly. Anyway, so...
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's hey, reminds
quick,
me of my dad,
aside,
actually.
I'm in a band with this guy, Darren Murphy, who's great friends with his manager.
Oh.
And 11 years ago, there was a play on Broadway being produced by Yoko Ono and some other people called Lennon. It was The Life of John... Well, actually, was... ended up being one of the shortest running shows on Broadway of all time.
Wow.
Because it wasn't probably the greatest idea. But they wanted Marshall Crenshaw because I don't know if you guys know about Marshall Crenshaw was in Beatlemania in the 70s before
he was
a solo
guy.
Right. He was John Lennon. Yeah. So they want this guy. So he looks like him and he wore those round glasses, can sing just like him, the whole thing. And he's like, no. But his manager was like, no, but I know this dude, Darren, in Texas. And Darren got the gig up there.
Wow.
He didn't get the gig. There was 9 people playing John Lennon, like even a black lady. It was just kind of like the essence of John Lennon as opposed to... But Darren was literally the understudy for every lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how good he was. Anyway,
well,
go
ahead. It's funny.
Marshall
also
Crenshaw.
Did the music for Walk Hard and stuff. That's when I found that out, I was like, oh, wow. And yeah, it's crazy.
So
but,
that's he discovered you guys in some way?
Yeah, we were on Reverb Nation. We submitted our songs for crowd review. And Reverb Nation is like a big social media platform for musicians. I highly recommend it if you don't have one. It's fantastic. That's the advice I'm going
to
give.
So you mean all
everybody.
Of those emails that I ignore that they send me like, hey, submit your song for this thing. I'm always like, ugh. Like, submit it?
Yeah, we submitted, like, hey, can you guys review our songs? And if you get an 8 out of 10 on any of our songs, you get featured on the homepage of that website for a week. And that's what we did. We got an 8 out of 10 on our song, The Silence. Mm-hmm. And
that's a great song, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And Marshall, he subscribes to the emails. So he got an email. It's like, look who's on the homepage this week. And there's this big picture of me and Savannah on the front. She's wearing this white dress with a newspaper print and articles about cats with cat puns. And Marshall saw that, and he was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And he clicked on it and listened to our music.
And he liked it.
That's how simple it was.
What's he like as a dude? Is he nice?
Yeah, he reminds me of my dad. He's really quirky and kind of quiet and just hilarious.
Yeah, he's kind of like us. Kind of introverted and quirky. And
Yeah. But so anyway, we went out to New York to record with him and this guy named Stuart Lehrman, who does all the music for the Boardwalk Empire series and the Wes Anderson movies. And so we've been recording our next record with those guys. So it's just, the next 4 records will be with them, actually. So it's been
congratulations,
kinda crazy.
Man. That's a great artist, too. Like a guy that's credible as a cool, you know.
Yeah, he actually is doing a panel here at South By on March 20th.
You're kidding me.
No, not at all. He's tickets at noon, so you can check it out there.
I can. I got podcasts all day, every day this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I can go out at night, though. What do you guys do when you go? I mean, half of what I do on tour is just drinking after shows. I'm not going to lie. It's not a horrible drinking where I'm vomiting on people and I don't know what my name is. But it's, you know, 2 to 4 cocktails.
Yeah, our idea of a party is reading.
Yeah.
Or watching Fight Club. We watched Fight Club last night on a really crappy TV, so that was fun. But yeah, we're not much party animals. We're just kind
of good.
Dorks.
Yeah. Total I mean, dorks. Total dorks. And you're just knitting and sewing there in the back?
That's literally, yeah. It's actually taken us years and years to get enough energy and confidence to, like, rock out a show. Because we're kind of shy, and we never really intended to be on this path. It was a total coincidence.
I don't understand how that is, because it almost seems like a genius put you together. You know what I mean? Like, whatever the guy was that, you know, whoever, like, put together One Direction. But, like, with really good people that are awesome. No offense against One Direction. I'm sure they're good people.
Yeah, no.
I don't think they're awesome.
We totally, it's so funny because Katie and I grew up 5 minutes away from each other, but we didn't know each other until we hit high school and saw each other. Like, we were literally in an orchestra. You're set up in a semicircle, and the violins are on one side, and the cellos are on the other. So we're literally facing each other for, like, an entire year before we even made a move to talk to each other. It was pretty yeah. funny.
And then when you guys played the White Stripes, then what happened? Then you said, like, oh, you want to do a band?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I turned around and was like, hey, we should be a band. And of course, I had no idea what the implication of that actually meant. I was just like, yeah, we should do a band.
Now you're in some weird guy's apartment in Austin. Like,
drinking iced coffee, drinking so I'm not complaining, you know?
It's free. Oh, my gosh. Well, So you guys, how did you get it going then? So you met that day and you were working on something for orchestra the day that you met?
Well, we're really lucky. Up in Traverse City and Northern Michigan in general, there's a really good, you know, arts programs for the schools. So music, there's orchestra, band, everything. And our school had just started this alternative styles club for the strings. And so there were like five or six of us who would show up after school in like a quartet, and we would play like Coldplay covers and Led Zeppelin. And, and one day our teacher
Cashmere or other
yeah stuff. Cashmere okay. man okay.
yeah it was.
Who wouldn't want I mean if I played something with a bow, the first thing I'd learn is Cashmere.
Oh heck yeah, it's perfect. It's totally
yeah. yeah, and we had to, well, our teacher asked the whole class. She was like, hey, there's this this meeting, we need someone to represent the club and play a little song. And Savannah and I just put up our hands.
We were the only ones.
Yeah. And it just kind of worked out. And Savannah's family, you know, we both have musical families. Yeah, and she was in a family band. She was playing fiddle. And I remember I was super jealous because she had this blue violin. And she'd always be like, oh, I got to tune it for my gig this weekend. And I was like, oh, she plays gigs?
Well, it was funny.
That's so cool.
It's so funny, though, because I started in this family band when I was 11 to get, like, the live performance experience. But I never wrote a single song. And I never played anything except for violin until I met Katie. And Katie could play, like, 10 instruments. And she was writing all these songs, but she'd never done live performance. So we just gave those things to each other. I started writing songs. I picked up different instruments. She started getting the live performance experience. And we just hit the road. So it's been
that's amazing,
crazy, yeah.
That's how the Reese's peanut butter cup came to be. Some guy had chocolate, some guy peanut butter. You put them together, and you realize they're better together than on their own.
Wow. Yeah. Can that be? Jack, can we take that as like a quote?
You
and
can
put
take
it on
anything
our website?
You want. Yes.
Okay. Johnny Goody says that we are like the Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups.
Yeah,
that's what we are.
Wow, that's perfect.
That is, isn't it? So then what did you guys do? You started playing together. You started writing songs. Did you learn how to write songs and started picking up other instruments?
Yeah, I sat down and I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a song today. And so I did. And I picked up ukulele. I picked up guitar after that. And I picked up bass, upright bass, viola, and mandolin, and piano, and just a bunch of other stuff. Musical saw is the best one, though. But I just picked up all the stuff and then took it to Katie. And I'm like, let's do this. Like, let's go do things and hit the road and be musicians. So it was a...
What were your parents saying? I mean, obviously, you come from a musical family, so they're like, okay, but you're in no sexist way at all, but like, oh, fuck, you're teenage girls. Like, I'm not going to send my teenage girls out into the tour.
Well, that's why usually my mom and my dad are both like fantastic supporters. They have supported literally from the first day on. They were the ones who kicked, you know, funded our first album and then got, you know, Traverse City to come around us and fund our second album. They've really just been amazing.
So your city funded your second album?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
That is so cool.
They raised $11,500 for us to go record our second album, Bittersweet. And then they also funded this tour. They put $13,000 together for us to be able to hit the road.
5 days.
5 days.
5 days we did an Indiegogo because, I mean, we were doing this huge tour and we were kind of like looking at the finances because, you know, we formed an LLC, we're a business, we're not in school anymore, we're like trying to work as a business, and so we're like, oh my gosh, we need
We're going to go in the hole. We needed to spend money on merch. We're playing 12 free showcases, and we had to pay for the gas all the way to get here to Austin, Texas. So we just started selling our stuff online. We're like, all right, let's just sell all the old instruments.
Does it at all faze you that you're coming here and playing 12 shows and that there's money being pumped into an economy that is never going to fund anybody's record? And I mean, that's true. I don't think I'm being a jerk at all by saying this. And McDonald's had this thing, and you guys obviously probably read that thing that went viral about they weren't going to pay this band. And the guy was like McDonald's is going to make me play for free? Like, no way.
Yeah, no. Dude. I'm actually just really excited to be here. I think the experience of coming to, I mean, we've always wanted to go to South By. I've seen this logo that's around my wrist right now for almost my entire life. And like, now that we're here, it just seems, like, so surreal. I'm just happy to be here. Like, I'm just happy. And I'm happy that we have such a supportive fan base to help us get here, too.
We found that, I mean, I'll say again, Northern Michigan, at least there's a community who we donate a lot of our time. So we do a lot of, like, charity events, and we help out a lot of other artists. And then, obviously, they give it all back to us through, you know, buying our merch, just sending us gas cards in the mail.
People show up to our gigs and just give us gas cards. They're like, here you go. We know you're going to need this, so here you go.
Aww.
Yeah, some lady showed up.
I love you guys. You guys are the coolest. Aww. That's what I got when I saw it. Like, okay, this is how I found you guys.
Yes.
So when they send out the third wave of South by Southwest acceptee people, mm-hmm. I go and start going through the list. But I literally go through the list. Like, I start at...
Well, good thing we start with our A. Right there.
Yeah, because I'll tell you something. I noticed that I've got a lot less bands that's after M. I was a lot more diligent and excited. But it takes me a week of, like, you know, going through, and I listen to all the bands. And when I listened to you guys, I liked it. And then I went to your website, started reading about it, see if you're worth, you know... Some people have good music, but they have zero personality or anything. But you guys just had a great story and a really exciting thing to talk about.
Yeah.
And that was even before the Marshall Crenshaw.
Yeah, no, it's been really exciting. I mean, we're absolutely floored that we are even sitting here right now, to be completely honest. Like, I don't think either of us expected to ever be performing musicians. We were just kind of in high school and we're like, oh, this would be cool if we could do this. And now so many people have made that happen.
Oh yeah, it has snowballed like out of control.
it's getting
more amazing every day. We have this like team of people who are growing and supporting us. We got a booking agency. We got Marshall and Stewart.
Yeah.
Working with some management peoples. And
yeah.
Other management people, they're good. They're, you know.
Yeah, we like them. Honestly, it's just been kind of crazy. But it's not even people who are on a team. It's just been people who are just doing it to support us. You know, it's just been really crazy. And we're so lucky to have Michael on the team now playing drums. Honestly, like, he came about 7 months ago and we... You know, we already talked about how we found him, but he's been such a fantastic balance for this group.
Yeah.
So it's good to have him.
And he's good on the road?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this is
he doesn't complain too much?
He's the only one who knows where we're going. He's got the map out. He's like, okay, let's find this address.
Yeah,
Katie
and I follow.
What, do you guys really use a map?
Well, no, we use the online map that tells
us
what, you know, they send out a link and they're like, here's all the roads that are closed. And Katie and I are directionally challenged. So
I have no idea.
So Mike, we're like, Michael, help. But, yeah, it's been good.
Did your parents come down with you this time? No,
because now you're
just your mom?
Yeah.
My dad will be here at the end of the week.
He's
kind of our unofficial
representative.
Representative of the fan club.
His dad found our tour van. We just got a tour van. We called it Black Betty. It's gigantic. It's like 15 feet long. And the thing, the very first time we loaded it up, the first thing I did was give myself a black eye on it because there's like a hook in the back of the car where you put the doors together and it just turned right into it. But it's a good van otherwise, you know, no hard feelings.
It only hit you once.
It only hit me once. Well, okay, that's really not true.
The black eye was like the first day that we had it, but the first time she like got in the car. and then she tried to get out of the car, and she fell out of the car.
Okay, let's just clear this up.
So you and Black Betty had some issues to work out.
Well, no,
out
it's not even just the car. Like, I swear, I just have a problem. The theory is I move too fast, and the world's just not ready for it. That's my theory that I came up with. So, therefore, I just am very accident-prone, which is probably why we're called the Accidentals.
One of the reasons.
Yeah, where did that, just because that's how it came together. That's why the name.
Well, we're obviously music nerds and theory nerds, and Savannah came up with the name because an accidental in music theory, you know, it's like a sharp or a flat or a natural, right, or like a note that it's in the key signature, but it doesn't really belong there, but it sounds good anyway.
Yeah.
And that's kind of us. We don't really fit in any key, but we...
Genre.
No, but you've created this world and are obviously creating an empire as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote you on that one, too.
Quote on that one, too.
The Accidental Empire.
Diabolical.
The Accidental Empire.
World domination.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, it feels like that. I mean, does this intimidate you at all, being here? Because you're excited to be here and you've always wanted to be here, but now that you're here...
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I first walked in, I was like, whoa, there's a lot of things going on right now. Okay. But, you know, it's good to be surrounded. We're so excited to go see all these different bands, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I had grilled cheese today from a food truck, and it was like, wow, this is a new experience. Like, this is all just new, and I have to just be here right now and just absorb all of it.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's really cool. A lot of people miss that stuff because they're complaining because... there's showcases at whatever, and they thought that it was going to be, you know what I mean? You get wrapped up in some other stuff, and then before you know it, your experience is over, and you chose to not be there and have a really great time. You chose to be a jerk or
yeah,
a drag.
Yeah, yeah. When we have people who, like, pop in on our Facebook, and they're like, hey, guys, just want to let you know that you guys are going to do great at South By. Just want to let you know it's going to be okay, and you got it. And it's like just reading those things. We're like, we'll read them out loud as we're careening through the highway in the car, and we're like, wow, we can do this. We got this. Yay. It's been good. It's
yeah.
Been really good.
Must feel nice that people care about you.
Yeah.
You know? How long this tour goes till April?
April 25th.
It's almost to May.
Yep.
Do you have significant others at home that you want to...
This girl's got a boy in Arkansas.
In Arkansas?
Yeah.
What?
We went to Interlochen.
You met him on tour?
No, we went to Interlochen Arts Academy. That's where we graduated from.
Art school in northern Michigan. He was up there. It's funny you were talking about John Lennon because he's obsessed with John Lennon. And, like, I've been, like, walking into McDonald's and he's been, like, people just, random strangers have to stop him and be like, you look a lot like John Lennon.
Okay, I was literally sitting at a table.
He's a musician too.
We were at a ski launch or something like that. It was like a ski resort for this gig, and I was sitting like two tables away, and this waitress comes up to him, and she's like, I just have to tell you, you look like John Lennon. I'm like, yeah, he gets that like 25 times a day.
And he's a musician too. His name is Brennan Leeds, and he's in a bunch of different bands. Right now he's in a band called Couch Jackets, but he's going on tour as a bassist for Heather Maloney, who's a songwriter.
Uh-huh.
She's actually here at South By too, but he's going to join her band later in April.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my significant other was my cat, but...
Yeah. That's gross.
Fat boy.
No, not like that. He's just
a word for that.
Significant other in my life.
Doesn't mean that it implies
all that other stuff. He's just my cat, and I love him.
So what happened? You broke up?
Well, no, he actually passed away recently, but I have a backup cat. Don't worry. Don't worry, his name is Nashville, and I actually did not name him. I got him from a gig. We showed up, and the Humane Society was sponsoring this gig, and they came around, and they picked up this gigantic black cat in one hand. They're like, who wants this cat? And no.
It's not very humane.
I know. I was like, what's happening? Nobody raised their hands. They're like looking at this cat, and this cat's just like he has like these big owl eyes, and he just looks really oblivious half the time, because he is oblivious half the time. He's just really dorky. But I was like, I'll take him. So I took this cat, and he like put his claws on my shoulders and did not let go for the entire day. So I just kind of carried him around, and he's my cat now. He's my backup cat. Yeah.
Nashville, the backup cat.
Nashville, the backup cat.
How do you guys keep that maintenance? I mean, your relationship. This is like, it's not even like you come home and you're together. It's long distance.
Oh, yeah, long distance.
No. I'm not getting into the inner workings of of how you make love from long distance. I'm just wondering how you keep a connection with somebody. I mean, you're going to be touring in different places, and when you go home, you go to Michigan, he goes to Arkansas.
It's true. It's hard, and we've all kind of had the same problem. When we're on the road, our manager always says, like, you're on the opposite schedule as everyone else that you love, because our families... my parents work jobs, and they're not up at like
8.
Yeah, and we're up, you know, playing shows until 1 o'clock in the morning. But it, I think it helps for me and Brennan. We're both musicians, and so we kind of have this understanding of what it's like to be in each other's shoes.
I'd say it's really hard to date a musician because, you know, you are on the opposite schedule. But that, you know, that's what it takes, is to find somebody who's mature enough to realize that and to just understand that this is a passion and it's also a job. Well, I don't think enough people understand that music really is a job.
Yeah.
You pay your bills. You know, we work with connections. You're, you know, we sit down every week and we're constantly sending like a bajillion emails to people and like making a bunch of different executive decisions, like trying to figure out how we're going to pay for certain things and then loading in every night. And it's just crazy.
And then you also have to be really good when you play.
Yeah.
That's the worst part about that stuff. Yeah.
Keep yourself healthy. The hardest part about touring is keeping yourself healthy. Like all we do when we stop is Katie and Michael do yoga, and me and our videographer Jake will go running or play soccer or something. But we're constantly trying to keep, you know, in healthy shape and such. So it's not easy, but it's a lot of fun. Like, if you do what you love, you never have to work a day in your life, is the quote, I believe. And I would definitely say
that's true. I do what I love, and I don't think I work. I don't feel like I'm working and I'm doing stuff, but I can, you know, podcast stuff and songwriting shit. I can do in my underwear, hanging out here in my apartment. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm when glad you guys put on jeans.
Sometimes I'll put on jeans, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, do the intros or whatever, or put the shows together, make some music. So you guys are going to the West Coast next?
Yeah.
We're heading up to California.
Have you done that before? Have you done the West Coast? This is the first one. You've done the East Coast, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are shorter drives. At the risk of alienating people that might be on the West Coast listening to this show, I do prefer the East because they're shorter drives, and I just like the East Coast better.
Well, you know, we've done that trek a lot of times, and we're kind of used to the snow. Like, Michigan is close enough to Canada to be its adopted son. So we're really happy to be somewhere where it's like the snow is gone and you can walk around in a tank. This is new for us. We've not felt the sun in 10 months. So we're happy to be somewhere we've never been.
When it goes away here for like 4 days, like, I get so depressed.
The sun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and you guys get it where it like gets dark at like 3 in the afternoon and stuff.
Yeah, it's like we celebrate in February after we survive February. It's like, we made it through, guys.
Yeah,
it's, like everyone understands in Michigan.
It's an unspoken rule that February is the worst month of the year, and when you get past it, there's like tiny celebration. It's like, oh, we did. There's like hope.
But then, you know, I remember graduation in April. There was like a big snowstorm.
I was so cold at your graduation.
It's just like, I had to wear winter coat again.
Yeah.
I was just like over prepared for this. Like, I only packed one pair of shorts because I knew that if I packed too many, then it would rain for the entire trip.
Yeah,
it would be like 40 degrees, but I got like my SPF 50 sunscreen. Like,
for all our lily white skin.
The pollen count is too high, like anything that could have happened.
Yeah, your skin tone is almost like English people.
Yeah, I swear. Like when we take pictures sometimes we just take a band selfie on the road, okay? So send to our fan bro.
White ghost.
So literally when the sun hits our face, it's like it's too much exposure. And it's like a bright light. We look like ghosts. You can't even take the picture. Exactly. It's like it just blends in. It's terrible. It looks like a sun glare. You just like, oh my god, where are we? But yeah, so that's definitely a drawback. But we're excited like to be somewhere where we can walk around in shorts. I put on sunscreen for the first time in like 3 years today, so that was cool. I like being somewhere I've never been, and we're gonna we have like a week and a half where we can just drive around and check out Death Valley and just like all this crazy stuff we've never done before. So I'm really excited to be on this side. And we have done the East Coast, we've been to Boston, we've been to New York, and we've done a ton of shows in Chicago thanks to this lady named Val Haller. She used to write for the New York Times, and she has this app called Val's List, and it's like a music curator app. So she's
wait, say that again.
Valslist.com. It's like this really awesome app. It basically has like every kind of playlist you can imagine, and we actually made a playlist for her site, so it's on there if you want to check out a playlist that we've all made collectively together of the
of
stuff
songs that you
to.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's on there, but she's really kickstarted our campaign through Chicago, and we're actually headed back there to play at Space pretty soon, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, she did, like, in 1 month what we would have had to, like, spend 3 years
yeah,
doing.
Yeah,
it's like,
very true.
Yeah. Like,
we spent
powerhouse.
3 years doing that in Michigan, and yeah. She's done that in, like, 2 seconds. She's like, no problem, I like you guys. We're like, we love you too, Val. So, we're,
yeah, she's coming down here to
she'll be here. It's
us,
off
yeah.
by, yeah.
That but, is, that's a great, you guys have that vibe, like, you know, yeah. Will you take me with you when you go? No, I got to put together a show, but I would come
we
with
would
you
take
guys.
You with, we need a tour driver. We need a bus driver. Take.
I'm not a driving guy. I'm terrible. That's why I live so close to downtown, because I can just walk there.
Yeah, that's true.
It's pretty amazing.
That's very true.
I actually went, I played a gig on Saturday, and it's so traffic-y down there that when I went to load in, it took me 45 minutes to get to 4th and Brazos, which driving would take me like 7 minutes or 8 minutes. And so I left my car down there and came home. I walked home
wow.
and then walked back, played the gig, and then left in my car with my gear. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. And there was like, it looked like there was also construction going on.
There's a lot of construction,
so like construction
everywhere. Yeah, 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 yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
all the
yeah,
roads are closed
yeah.
too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still fun.
So what are you going to do like the rest of, do you have a gig today? No, just this.
Tomorrow.
Just this today.
Just
yeah.
this.
Okay.
Tomorrow we've got... three things
tour
we're doing
document.
I was super flattered that you put me on your list of things that you're doing. That made me
oh heck yeah, oh, yeah. dude. I actually yeah. we're in charge of the scheduling. Well, not booking, but like when we get the schedule, we always put it out onto all of our social media. We have a ton.
Yeah.
Actually, you can find out more of that at www.moreaccidentals.com.
Yes.
And we have a really active Facebook page we constantly are responding to. Our email is really active too, so.
And we're starting to get really active on like Twitter and Instagram, and like we're slowly building all of the social media
yeah.
empire.
We have
yeah.
a yeah but yeah. tomorrow we're at Creative Many Michigan House.
Well, this won't come out today.
Oh,
but
okay,
you're playing a
kidding.
Lot of shows.
Just
to say, no problem. But people
yeah,
you're going to be
on
tour. We got people all over the country listening to this show. They should go to moreaccidentals.com and find out when you're going to come to a town near them.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
People here in Austin, this might come out on Friday. So
cool.
If you're around, are you playing on Friday and Saturday? Now you're going to go.
Yeah,
now you're
got,
like, God, this Johnny.
We've got a.
He's making me
like
look up stuff. Sorry, you have a what?
I think we have like a 1 a.m. showcase on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yes. That's Swan Dive. That's
yeah,
the big
you know what?
One.
This will come out on Friday. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a big
It'll
one that you want to go to is our official showcase at Swan Dive at 1 a.m. on Friday. And then we have a Saturday show at Andre Cole's at 5:10 and a Sunday show on March 22nd at Champion Sports Bar at 6 o'clock. So check out our website if you can't remember all that, but we are literally all over the place as much as we can, as fast as we can. So.
What's your favorite of the social media platforms? Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook?
Facebook.
Facebook. We're definitely the most active.
Were you guys even born when Friendster was around?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I don't
you,
even
yeah,
know what Friendster
are.
Is.
Yeah. That's so...
Yeah, I don't even... I
don't
can't
know
even
it
use
is.
Twitter
I wanted
very
to
well.
Say something ageist. It's Willy.
Oh,
was
I was looking at the set list because it
you
says
know
Clementine
set list it is?
On there. Is that, Sarah G?
Nope.
No.
Keep on looking. It was actually his set list and his footprints on it, and he's no longer alive.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Have... Wait.
Needle in the Hay, EXO, Son of Sam, of course, Clementine, Everything Means Nothing. Elliot Smith.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's from a figure eight tour. He came through here like three times, and a guy that worked for my band in between tours was working for a sound company and knew I was a fan and picked up that set list for me.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm one of those set list grabbers when I go to shows. Like I've got a Tame Impala set list.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've got a national set list.
Oh yeah,
they're
cool.
And then a Vampire Weekend one that actually has Chris Bio's footprint.
Oh, nice.
The bass player.
Nice.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
So that's kind of cool.
Equally nerdy.
Michael
yeah.
is
All
definitely like, I'll hear a band on at a random restaurant and I'm turning to Michael and be like, Michael, what is this? And he always knows. Michael is the most informed of all the new and up and coming bands, and Katie's second most. And I'm like, what do you guys got for me? I'm ready.
I read a lot of music websites, and I went to school in Nashville for a year last year, and there's
Belmont,
so many
yeah.
shows that go on in Nashville that. Every weekend, I mean, someone's telling you,
what's
hey,
the 12th and Porter and 3rd and Lindsley and all
we
those
played
places?
There.
Like,
yeah,
Exit In.
Those are good places. Exit In, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we saw, we actually, before I was in the band, they came down to Nashville while I was there to, like, play shows, and we ended up all seeing Real Estate together.
Oh, wow.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Was something I was going to ask you, because I saw pictures of you guys where you have like a bass and then like a Gretsch, but then also where you have all the other instruments that are more classical. But then all of a sudden, I'm wondering, is there like a rock trio that happens?
Oh yeah, we are indie folk rock. I would say that's our genre. Kind of, if you had to put that in iTunes, that's our
I would
genre.
Say that too.
But we're also been described as genre bending. We do a little bit of gypsy jazz. We do a song with Celtic in it and classical and just a bunch of stuff. So we try to keep it pretty interesting.
Like
you losing your ear thing?
There we go. Yeah, there's a progressive rock song we call our Foo Fighters song and so on and so forth. So we do a little bit of everything. We try to keep it super open and, you know, we just try to express all the genres that we listen to in our music. So it's been really interesting. For those of you who don't know, our live show usually features, I'm on violin, Katie's on cello. We both play guitar and we both play electric bass, but we can't bring 13 instruments to the show, so we don't. Those are the ones that we usually bring. And then Michael also has a song that he plays guitar, drums, and sings.
Yeah, and Michael plays a really tiny cake drum. Do you want to talk about your set?
It's an insanely small kit. I sit on a cajon,
okay,
and I use these weird brushes, Vic Firth brushes, to play. They're like plastic bristles, so they're kind of thick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got this itsy bitsy bass drum that's got to be like 10 inches deep.
I call it Pac-Man because it's got Pac-Man painted on
Pac-Man
it.
I painted Pac-Man on the front of it a couple years ago because there was like a mic hole cut out. Uh-huh. So I have Pac-Man like eating the ball.
Yeah.
Our videographer Jake actually made a music video that features the Pac-Man like eating some dots. You can find that on our YouTube, by the way.
I don't know how he did it because he's a wizard, but...
I gotta keep on looking back at Jake and I think he thinks I'm judging him. But every time I look back, I'm like, oh, Jake's, Jake's a good looking guy. He's going to do well at South by Southwest with the ladies.
Yep.
Sorry, is that bad?
Hmm? No.
Oh.
I was trying to whistle, but like.
You'll be just say hi to him. Don't be shy.
He's a ninja. He can't
Don't be
speak.
So shy.
He can't speak. He's a ninja.
He's done some crazy things at shows to like get shots. Like one of the first times we took him out, he actually like climbed a curtain and like.
Just
got
behind the
stage to like get the shot. Like
the other day, he climbed out the window of a car and ran barefoot through the snow just to take a shot over a bridge. So yeah, we're pretty happy to have him.
Are you focusing on being a film man, a man of film?
Yep.
Did you watch this thing, The Jinx?
No.
Oh, you should look it up. Google Robert Durst when you leave here. A guy's documentary literally put a guy in prison, solved 3 murders.
I'll hold you to it.
Wow. Yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's front page of New York Times today. It's huge. It's unbelievable. 35-year-old murder case.
Wow.
And then one that's like longer, and then another one where he got acquitted. He chopped a dude up, and they found him innocent because the guy, there was no proof that he actually killed the guy, even though he did chop the guy up and admitted to it. Like,
wow.
Literally
that
chopped
so
a guy up.
It's insane how like, that happens sometimes.
Isn't
like,
that weird?
They'll like confess to it, and then they'll get off. I don't know how it happens, but that's weird.
Well, he comes from one of the richest families in New York City. Actually, his family's company, the Durst Company, is who leases and runs the Freedom Tower, the new where they put the Twin Towers were. Big family, big money, big lawyers, the biggest lawyers you can get, and they're on there too.
They're huge.
One of them says the way that it works is, you know. Rich people get to drive Cadillacs, and poor people have to drive used cars. Mm. It's horrible to look at the law and justice like that. Mm. But you guys interested in law and justice? I just lost you. I feel like I lost all three of you guys.
I was thinking about it. A documentary I watched about a Japanese cannibal who got away, and like that's the exact
same story.
Japanese cannibal?
So
yeah,
creepy.
He became like famous actually because he admitted to like. Murdering a woman and eating her, and he wrote books about it and everything. But he like worked out a deal where he got to Japan, and I mean, he came from a rich background.
This is a pretty strange conversation.
Cannibals, murders, accidentals.
Oh yeah,
it's all life. When I started this show, I thought that if I had regular conversations with people in music and stuff, and their fans, I think when you're not just selling your record to people in like a radio, 5-minute radio thing, you get to, I think, people that listen to you, they'll go and listen to this after we have this conversation. They'll know your view on cannibalism and have a deeper connection to you and know who you are more of a person.
Well, you know,
I don't believe in cannibalism for the record.
Just for the record, the Accidentals are not into cannibalism in any way and they don't approve of it.
Well, you know, it does speak to Katie's personality a little bit, though. Like, she's very much a documentary watcher. She gets really informed about the most, like, the craziest stuff. And Michael and I are total book readers. So, like, well, you know, we all keep pretty informed when we're on the road about what's going on. So,
can you recommend any good books?
Yeah, I wrote I wrote an entire song about this book called House of Tomorrow by Peter Bogdani, and I'll just sum it up really quickly in the footnote of what caused me to write this song. So, here's the story. It's about a boy who lives in a glass tourist attraction dome with his psychotic grandmother who doesn't let him have a social life, so he runs away and he makes friends with a punk rocker kid with a heart defect, and the punk rocker kid with a heart defect tells him that Napoleon was the first punk rocker, and I read that line, and I was like, oh my gosh.
That's a great line.
This is fantastic. So then I went and wrote the song, and it's called Bulletproof Glass. It's on a record. And I sent Bulletproof Glass to the author of the book, Peter Bogdani, because my mom was like, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. And at first, I was holding him on this huge pedestal, like, he'll never talk to me. He'll never respond. 5 hours later from Rome, Italy, this guy emails me back, and he's like, hey, Sav, I just listened to your song about 37 times, and I just wanted to tell you that it's really fantastic, and I really think we should work together sometime. So that was really cool. And that really did teach me that, like, you know, you can't really hold people on a pedestal all the time. We all want to have something to give, and we all want to have something to take away from it. So to hear from people, like, on a personal level like that is sometimes, like, we always think that nobody will want to hear it, but it's the opposite. The opposite is true. Yeah. So that was really cool. But, yeah, that's a book I would recommend. And
here's something I would like to, for you guys to do.
When homework?
You leave here.
Homework.
Yeah.
Yay.
You have my phone number. Give it to your parents and tell them to call me, because I'm going to tell them that they should parent everyone.
You know, you're all of your
parents,
true.
Whoever you people are. I don't know who these parents are, but they're awesome.
They totally are.
They are.
Yeah, you guys, are very cool.
Hi, let's just talk about them real quick, okay?
Talk about them, man.
Okay, so the first time my parents ever met, my dad was playing saxophone and piano at the same time, and he had one orange Converse shoe propped up on his keyboard. My mom was an R&B singer in Nashville at the time, and she saw this guy, and she's like, wow, he's wearing a really crazy vest. He's got one orange Converse shoe propped up on a keyboard. I'm going to marry that dude. So they did, and they had me move to Michigan. Michael's parents, your dad is a salesman, or printers.
He works for a printing company, and so that's kind of really cool, because whenever we need to print, like, business cards or, like, posters or brochures and stuff. Like,
oh, I thought you were just putting your arm on him, and I was like, look at how sweet they are.
Oh, well, that too. We do love him.
But yeah, my dad is, he really introduced me when I was young to, like, new wave music and stuff like that. Like, when I was, like, 5 and 6, I was listening to, like, Disintegration by The Cure. Like, that is not an album that, like, 5 and 6 year olds listen to. Oh, yeah, fist bump. But, so
it's one of my favorite records of all time.
I love it so much. But,
His dad also, you know, you can give him something, like, we're like, hey, Mr. Dawes, can you help us find a shore band? He's like, done. And he found it in a week.
My dad's
we're
a car guy.
Mr. Dawes, can you help print out these posters? Because he owns a printing company. He's like, done. Here you go. Hands it to it in, like, 2 days. We're like,
and you call him Mr. Dawes?
Yeah, well, I
come
mean,
on, guys. This cool. is
he's
amazing.
Cool. I know, but he seems so just, you have to just shake his hand,
he's,
man.
He's even more of the suburban dad than I am. Yes, I love him so much, but that's where I get it from.
He is seriously amazing.
And then my mom, she's always been a singer. She, more classical, though. She sings in, like, the church choir. She got the opportunity when she was in college to back up Foreigner in a choir, which was kind of cool.
I want to know what love is.
That song.
No way.
Don't
talk about love. Was that your mom, the lady that did that?
Well, it was like when they played a show at Michigan State. When she was up there, they, like, had the Michigan State choir back them up. But it was really cool. And then through the church that she belongs to, she was able to sing in a choir with Dave Brubeck.
No
actually
way.
Playing. And there's a great story that goes along with it where, like, they were like, you know, don't talk to him, let him do his thing.
Right, yeah,
don't
look
at him.
And
then in the middle of the practice, or the rehearsal, he stops and he points to my mom and he's like, you. And she's like, me? Like, I'm not supposed to talk.
Yeah.
He's like, come down here. Right, and so she walks down, and he's like, I really like your vowels. Everybody else, do your vowels like she does. And then he sent her back home. So
well,
that's,
you know,
that's
your
the
poor
Dave
mom,
Brubeck.
Though. You know what's terrible is being that person when Dave Brubeck leaves and everyone looks at you and is
like
hey, thanks a lot, dude.
Yeah, and then Katie's parents, they both work at Interlochen Arts Academy. Her dad is a fantastic classical pianist. Like,
he's a pianist and an organist, and he's a composer, too. I remember before I ever wrote a song, he has a copy of a Finale for a program to do compositions on his computer, and he taught me how to use it when I was, like, 12 years old. So before I was ever singing or writing songs, I was making these weird... like compositions. I didn't even know what I was doing,
cool.
but I just put the notes in weird spots.
Yeah.
So that's, I love him for that. He's so helpful. And then my mom is also a singer. Actually,
so all
of
our
us.
Moms are singers.
Yeah, it's crazy. And she met my dad at a music store in Minneapolis. They both were working there because she studied voice in college.
You have the kind of mom that worked at a music. That's the, like, there's not a lot of ladies working at music
stores.
Let me
just
tell you that right now.
It gets even cuter.
Yeah,
they were the only two. They both her parents had never dated anybody else in their entire life, and they got married to each other.
Yeah,
like that's the cutest part.
Yep. Yeah, they're cute, and then they played music together, like all the jazz standards. My dad on the keys, my mom singing.
Yep. We also have little brothers.
You guys
and
were
sisters.
Destined to do this. Like, there's no, you guys didn't have a choice. The three of you guys, even. I mean, there's no like, and it's awesome that you're all thrown together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's we. I mean,
it's like-minded.
I can't
similar
stress
people.
How incredibly lucky we are to know each other. Honestly, it's been it's been a really great dynamic. Like, we're all really laid back. I don't think I've ever been in an argument with any of these two. Like, just anybody on the road, we've never.
Like, the only argument is like, no, but I want to listen to Radiohead in the car. Like, that's about.
Or like whether or not we should make shell-shaped mac and cheese or like SpongeBob-shaped mac and cheese. Like, that's the extent of our argument.
That's
shape.
It's
Katie
tough,
and I
man.
Are like the shaped, and she's like shell mac and cheese.
Shells has the best texture. Okay.
Like, are you shells with Velveeta?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
I guess.
There's a bunch of other, like,
there's Annie's.
Really good, yeah, there's
it's organic.
Annie's.
Yeah. I don't need organic. The blue box is fine. I'm fine with the regular straight up.
Well, you know, like Katie mentioned earlier, I was born without a sense of smell or taste, so
oh,
it's all texture.
You said that? And I didn't hear you say that?
Well, that was like when we walked in the door.
She mumbled it. But yeah, that's the thing, so.
So she's a hot sauce fanatic because of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like one of the things that she can, like, taste and feel, so.
Yep. I have a bottle of hot sauce
you
in my
don't
bag
know this,
right now.
You don't know this right now, but I have the worst BO in the world.
Oh.
No, I'm joking.
No, it's okay. I don't know.
Savannah would not care.
Yeah.
Every time somebody, like, farts in the car or something, I just roll up all the windows and just laugh. It's the best part.
No, that's kind of weird, but.
No, I can get away with it.
Yeah, she calls us mortals because of it.
Mortals. Mm-hmm. Because you can taste and smell.
Well,
losers.
Yeah, you guys have to deal with. It's like that once.
I wonder if something will still give you a headache if you don't. You know what I mean? You know how some smells will give you a headache? I wonder if you'll still get the headache because the thing is still happening. You're just.
I was wondering,
like,
we
need a man of science.
Do you get hungry if you walk into a room that, like,
no, I have to. I have to actually. I have to wait until somebody is eating and then watch them eat for a little bit, which is so weird. And I feel horrible for. I've never said this on anything ever. I've never said it to anybody. It's really embarrassing for me.
How did I get here? Exclusive.
Oh God, it's horrible. But okay, so I have to, like, walk into a cafeteria. I remember Interlochen. I would have to walk into the cafeteria, sit down, and wait for 10 minutes for everybody to go get their food, and then sit down at the table, and then just watch them eat. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm hungry enough to go eat because they're just. I can't. And it's also really hard to salivate, so, like, I have to, like, I can't eat dry food very easily, so I have to, like, drink water with, like, crackers. And, like, it's just so dumb. I hate it.
I'm going to go ahead and stop you now.
Please
before
stop.
You reveal way too much.
No, that's the most of it. That's the only drawback, okay? That's where, that's just, oh, God, you can probably hear the blush. I'm sorry, guys.
You can see it definitely with that almost translucent skin.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I'm Cuban, so this is like me not being in the sun for months.
Yeah. Wow. That's
it's kind of still kind of brown, right?
Yeah, that's no, compared to us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
but like I'm a sun person. Like, when I bet if you guys went out in the sun for like 30 minutes, you would be like totally burnt.
We're lobsters. Mm-hmm.
And if I went out in the sun for like an hour with no protection at all and no clothes, which I normally do, I would look just like this when I came back. It's weird.
You are
maybe
blessed.
A little browner.
You're blessed, sir.
Just a little skin tone. Latin people. That's what we have. What kind of heritage? Aren't you got like people from up there, like German and
Irish.
Like Irish and
yeah.
Polish. Or
Irish yeah, and Polish Native American. Polish, yeah. My great grandmother's like 100% Native American.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you know what tribe?
No, I think Cherokee. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not really sure. They live in Virginia, and I haven't talked to them in a while, so I don't know. I'll have to check it out, though.
What about sports? Oh, you said you do yoga. You do yoga, and you run.
I did 14 years of soccer before I thought I was going to be a soccer player before I went to
that
music.
That was the dream.
Yeah, no.
What did you think you were going to be before you were this? Before you were this.
Before you were this.
Definitely not a soccer player. I could not play any sports at all. Not very good. I don't know. I was interested in... Well, the funny thing is, I had, like, tons of different interests. And I would go to Interlochen Arts Academy for the summer camp, because my parents worked there. So every summer, I would do something different. Like, I did a documentary program for 1 year, and I did, like, some, like, art and music and everything. And I didn't really know what direction I was going to take. And then, once we started the band, I realized that, like, what we do incorporates like, graphic design for, like, artwork and posters.
Making
and,
cover photos.
You know, film. We do tons of YouTube stuff and audio technology.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, everything. Like,
drama,
we wear
too.
On stage.
Drama.
Well, yeah, exactly. you have to act. Yeah,
sometimes sure. You gotta act like you're having a good time, too. When you're playing 700 shows over a couple of years, you're like, it's not all of them are gonna be, like, the freshest, happiest
moment
of your
life.
Oh, yeah,
well, generally, we have a lot of fun with those, but yeah, there's definitely times where, like, there's just a blinding headache, and you're gonna just play.
Is there anything that I'm missing? I mean, I know there's a lot that I'm missing, and I honestly, like, when you guys come back through town again, hit me up, man. I would love to have you guys back on. I like talking to you. You are genuinely, like, seriously, like, beautiful human beings.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think we're hoping that South By will be, like, this new marker in where we've been. Because we, you know, I would say the first marker was coming out with Tango Ribbon Blue. That's our self-produced first album ever. The first 5 songs I ever wrote are on that album. And, you know, songs that Katie wrote when she was, like, 11 are on there. And then the second one was crowdfunding with Bittersweet. Third one was doing our, like, you know, first couple of tours with people for, like, long periods of time. And, you know, and we just kind of expanded from there.
Now you're going to make a record with somebody taking care of the stuff for you so you don't have to
We've scored, you know, we scored movies. And, you know, a couple of, like, commercials and such have been a thing. So it's, you know, we're coming up on this point where South By, we're hoping, will be, like, the next step to transitioning into this new thing of doing this full time and, you know, being completely supported, and it's just gonna be a really interesting turn.
Well, I think if anyone can do it, honestly, it'll be you guys, because you have this is true. I'm 46 and I've done this for since I was 14, and I'm tired. Like, I'm stoked I'm not playing this year. Yeah. Because I hate having to load in chaos and all that stuff. Yeah. So you have luckily youth, because you're not worn down yet, because it is exhausting. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there that you don't have that weird, there's like a desperation, an undertone of desperation that you can't smell it, but there's an undertone of desperation at
like
South by Southwest
desperation.
That is the equivalent of somebody walking into like a full football stadium where everyone's cheering over the team, like, hey guys, I want to tell you something. You know what I mean? Like, it's so sad. Like, but you have this great attitude. I'm sure that people are going to, people are attracted to that sort of thing and want to be around it and see that kind of stuff.
Well, yay!
And so I'm very, you guys give me hope and make me happy.
Wow.
Okay,
thank you
now
for
leave
this.
My apartment.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. Thank you so much. If anyone wants to find out what's going on, anything you want, Jake, is there anything you wanted me to?
Jake
Ladies,
Burgess.
Jake is single. He's very handsome. The nice hairdo, very pretty nice camera also. So
He has a Facebook page, Jake Burgess Videography. So go give it a like. He's done all of our fantastic music videos. You can find those on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
They are just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Basically, you can find everything you need to at moreaccidentals.com. Pick up albums, Tangled Red and Blue, Bittersweet, 13 Instruments, 50 Original Songs. 13. Met in 2011. Two girls, one dude. Why don't they say one dude?
Oh, that's not
it. Just says two
bio.
Girls.
Gotta update that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, two girls and one dude.
Two girls
that's
and
what
Michael.
Should be. Anything else? Nothing?
No, we're good.
Well, thank you guys. Have a great time while you're here. Have a great time on tour, and let's stay in touch.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
The ground beneath her feet, it was bitter.
The Accidentals, Savannah, Katie, and Michael. Man, they're going to be on tour for a long time, man. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Get over there to the moreaccidentals.com. Moreaccidentals.com is their website. You know, they ended up hanging out for a while because their ride wasn't here. When they got done, their ride had taken off. And we ended up hanging out and you know, talking for a while. It was great. Great getting to know them a little bit more. I like these people. They're very, very nice people. They're very talented. And they got a lot of stuff going on. So get out there. Check out moreaccidentals.com while you're out there on the internet. Be sure that you like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy. And also, you know, if you like a show, I know there's new people listening to the show. You go back, you can check it out at the How Did I Get Here page. The latest 20 are always on Stitcher, and they're always on iTunes. You can subscribe for free on iTunes, get it every Tuesday and every Friday in your inbox, you know, or in your iTunes, whatever that's called. Be sure that if you do like a show, get out there, you know, share it on social media, tell people about the show. That's how we let people know about it, word of mouth. I hope you guys are having a great South by Southwest. I hope that Savannah, Katie, and Michael had a great South by Southwest. Wait, they're still having it. I mean, it's still South by Southwest. Don't forget, tomorrow, Saturday, March 21st, 2015, I will be hosting the Merch Cat Indie Showcase at the Lucky Lounge, 1245 Hydrogen Child, 1:45 p.m., Ten Commandments, Wild Adriatic at 2:45, Sphinx at 3:45, and Iron Tom at 4:45. Go there. Check it out. I will be there. I will be hosting the Merch Cat Indie Showcase 2015 at the Lucky Lounge in Austin, Texas, South by Southwest. All right, let's listen to some more music from the Accidentals. I really did enjoy hanging out with them and meeting them. I wish them all the luck in the world. Good luck, guys, and I hope to sit down and talk to them again. All right, here's the Accidentals. Let's get down.
Picture perfect memories just come with all those tougher things, and pain's the best reminder of our past. I watch the meteors fall in a world that hardly cared at all, leaving silver trails of dust across the sky. Open to go blue to match my mood, and with constellations for tattoos, and I watch them fade away and quickly die. So many theories wrong and soon disproved. So many ideas lost among the few. So many conversations that are sadly misconstrued and lost among debate and needless violence. We need the silence. Seems he never will complain whenever his whole family is near.